The scripture reading this evening will be from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm.
Eleven and a half years ago, maybe I got that right. I think so. Maybe 12 and a half. Got to do my math. But anyway, what do you think about? Let me be a little more specific. 2001, September 11th. I'll never forget that day. I was at the church building in a study, and I kept getting calls. I kept getting my study interrupted, and they were talking about some buildings in New York falling. And, of course, I later found out what was going on, and I was due to start a meeting that Sunday at Helena in Birmingham. And I decided that I needed a new sermon outline. And actually, what I want to present to you tonight was the sermon outline. I only preached once. I only preached it on that Sunday night. Now, that they had a week-long meeting, and they had record attendance all week, and it had anything to do with the speaker, I assure you that. But I do remember that date, and I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about just some really basic truths about when your life is turned upside down. We're going to be looking at passages that deal with national calamity. But could I say that you could have in your own life turned upside down in so many other ways as well? And really, we want to talk about how God uses calamity, sometimes allows it to happen, and most of all, of how if we can build an utter dependence upon God, of how God will sustain us in a time like that. I've titled the lesson, Serving God When the Trumpets Sound. And in a moment, we're going to talk about what that means, about the trumpets. But one of the things that I see in Scripture is that, you know, we as humans, when we have it easy, and brethren, we have had it easy in this country. We have had probably the most prosperous, peaceful, lengthy time of things going well than probably in any time in our history. We're just not familiar with uncertainty, true uncertainty. And the doubt of whether or not our country will last, or the doubt of whether or not that maybe death may come upon our children and others. I was listening to Radio Classics the other day, and they were playing some old radio commercials in the 60s. And I forgot about this, but there was one where they were selling an album that you could buy on how to survive an atomic blast. And it was talking about this could happen at any time and your family needs to be prepared. I kind of vaguely remember those days as a kid where you really had the reality that you would think that out of the blue at any time an atomic bomb may drop. But anyway, without getting into all that, life is brief. And notice in the context where God is in control and how these things should be in our reasoning. It says, the days of our lives are 70 years, if by reason of strength they're 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, we need to understand we're not we're not the great powerful people we think we are. We're not the great powerful country we think we are. We can't figure it all out. And our God is in control and we need his protection. We don't want to be like the rich man that God called a fool when he says, I've got it made. Peace and security and safety man, it's my 401k is great. Everything is good. As it says later in verse 19, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, it's not your soul be required of you. And what then, whose will those things be that you have provided? And so again, one of the things you're going to see about our God as we work with Him, this kind of connects to the lesson this morning, is that there are going to be times of suffering and uncertainty, and that's not a bad thing if you combine it with faith. There are going to be times where we need to understand that things aren't going well, and God rules in the nations. That's going to be a major theme tonight. We look at the book of Amos, for instance, in the warning of Israel, the northern tribes. And what Amos is doing here is saying that he's telling the northern tribes, look what I've done to you repeatedly. Some terrible calamities that come upon you repeatedly. And you didn't get the lesson. Could that be said of America? Absolutely. Absolutely. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 6, also I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 7, we're just going to hit highlights of this chapter. I also withheld rain from you, yet you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. Verse 9, I blasted you with blight and mildew, and it goes on to talk about the locusts devoured them, yet you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. Verse 10, I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt, and your young men I killed with a sword, along with your captive horses, and the stench of your camps came into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. God is a God of this world. And not only in Israel, but as you read the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, you see that God sends warnings with calamities upon nations to try to get their attention. Our God is not changing His nature. And I've got to deal with this. After He did the physical calamities, this statement is made in verse 12. Now, do you just imagine this? You hear this from God. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Ooh. You don't want to meet a holy God unprepared. God takes down nations. He takes down individuals. And we don't want to meet our God with an unrepentant heart. The passage read in your hearing, though, is one thing I want you to be mindful of. As we talk about nations falling, we talk about calamity and suffering and death, and those things, again, wickedness and evil and suffering, these things are part of this world, and God will use the suffering and to try to help people turn their minds, change their minds. But here in Joel 12, we read in your hearing, our God wants to forgive. But our God wants our heart. He doesn't want just some outward conformity. Our God wants us to know Him and trust Him and understand He's loving and merciful. It is merciful for God to cause calamity upon us if our heart is unrepentant. He's wanting us to be right with Him. And I like verse 13, so rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God for His gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and relents from doing harm. When you see the actions of God through history, it's always, always, always for the good of man. And unfortunately, we need suffering and uncertainty because of the nature of our hearts. We will become proud and forget God. But now let's ask this question. What do we do in times of physical, financial, and spiritual distress? Let's look at the nations. Our God is God of all nations. What are some nations you can think of today? You think of Mexico, Iran, Iraq. We think of Russia. You name the nation. And it's fascinating, even in my lifetime, there are some nations that have disappeared and there are some that have formed. If you look in the last century, particularly after World War I, there are some of these nations that had no existence until after World War I. I mean, nations and boundaries are constantly changing. And Jesus Christ is revealed in the book of Revelation in the New Testament as one ruling amongst the nations. In verse 26 it says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, I will give power over the nations. He, speaking of Jesus, shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. Do you know what Jesus does amongst the nations? Imagine all the nations lined up like little potter's vessels. they're fragile. And here's the Lord of the rod of iron. Rod of iron meets pottery vessel. Guess what happens? The pottery vessel loses. And our God, even right now, and this country is one of those pottery vessels, our days are numbered as a nation. Any nation that has ever existed, all of them, their days are numbered. I don't know when the wind's going to be or how it's going to happen. But one thing God does is God tries to help nations to maintain a certain level of morality. We're not even talking about salvation here necessarily, but we're talking about a certain moral standard, a standard of which a nation ought to exist and a standard of which they shouldn't exist. Genesis 15, 16, reason why Abraham wasn't brought into the land, and particularly Israel later out of Egypt brought into the land, it was until a time that the iniquity of the Amorites was full. There comes a time for the Amorites to fall. Israel came in. And so it's interesting as you read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is written for that generation, trying to let the Christian know that these unbeatable nations like Rome, these unbeatable nations even amongst the persecution, amongst the Jewish authorities, nations don't last. God's kingdom does. And that's where we get to the trumpets. That's why I wanted you to understand. Serving God when the trumpets sound. The picture here is from the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, the particular struggle was the Roman Empire against the church. Church is going to win. Because God is with the church. Any man who fights God is going to lose. But even the nation that was fighting the church, and I know there's other interpretive approaches toward the book of Revelation. Some say it was the Jewish nation. So whatever, I'm not going to debate the particular interpretation of how you handle the book of Revelation, except that it's a nation against God's people. And what God does with that nation, He just doesn't take them down immediately. He warns them. And the warnings are catastrophes. Revelation 8, 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hell and fire followed, mingled with blood. Figurative language here of catastrophes upon a nation. Just glancing, just skimming this passage. Verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. We see what possibly could be ecological calamity. Verse 10, and then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and the springs of waters. There's various interpretations that we can make of this, except we know this, God humbles nations, just like He did Israel. He did it with Rome. He does it with every nation. I can't tell you God's plan. I can't tell you exactly how He's working amongst us. I could not even tell you that September 11th was from the hand of God for a particular purpose. It may well have been. I tend to believe personally, privately, that it was. But I can't say with a definite statement. But I do know this. God brings bad things to nations to try to get people to wake up. And it's very interesting. Again, this is a quote that I drew from the time when this particular September 11th happened. And those of you remember the attitude is pretty different, wasn't it? Well, they didn't have to advertise very much for this meeting. Somebody like me speaking, man, they had full building. They had people coming every night, people coming in and listening. And you know why people were doing that? People were concerned. Their attitude toward the invincibility of this country, their attitude about the peace and security that we had for a short period of time, were shaken. I like how one writer at this time talks about events like this. It says, even while numbness sets in, something else happens. A mental window opens for a period of time that shocks us to an appreciation of our existence in a more poignant way than our everyday awareness allows for. We become more sensitized to the simple beauty of being alive and the importance of those who matter to us. Suddenly, the important things in our lives jump forward in bold relief. Then it goes on to say this, the window tends not to stay open for too long as we slowly drift back into our common mentality. That's the way calamity occurs on a national level. Now, on a private level, you know that as well. You lose a loved one. You may lose a job. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you were going to die? I had a few occasions when I was working for a steel company that I thought I was going to die. I really thought I was going to die. And everybody around me thought they was going to die. And it was something interesting. After we didn't die and we survived, our whole day changed. It was like, you know, we just look at this day as a real, we didn't have the worries we thought we had. We're appreciative of things. That's the way calamities can work for everybody. But the important thing with God, because particularly this audience, we know God, we know His Word. Those things can profit us and get us back to understanding what lasts. Now, the sad truth about nations, Old Testament, Israel, New Testament, the judgments being brought upon the persecuting power, is that nations rarely get it. They rarely do. There was a few occasions. Could you name, we were not going to have an open participation in the sermon tonight, but just in your mind, can you name a nation that responded positively to a calamity in the Old Testament? How about Nineveh? The preaching of Jonah. You know, we don't have many. But there have been a few occasions where they did respond, and certainly there would be individuals within those nations that responded. But here's what we see, Book of Revelation, some of the calamities from the trumpets and the judgments that God was bringing. In Revelation 9 and verse 5, it says, and they were not given authority to kill them. This is talking about the calamity, whatever it was, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Later on, we read about, well, what happened to these people? You think, well, they were so concerned and wanted to die, maybe they turned to God. Not in this case. Verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. I think you've seen it. Have you seen this in life, haven't you? Somebody about to go through a calamity. Oh, Lord, protect me. If you'll deliver me from this, I'll serve you. If you'll just let me get by this, then I will give my rest of my life to you. And then what happens? The calamity doesn't come, and then a person goes back to being the kind of person they were. So again, we need to understand that God's got a purpose. Not many are going to respond to that. But there's a value for those who are wise. Foolish people don't learn from life. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:22, though you grind a fool in mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. In the remaining part of the lesson, I just want to do an overview of some principles that we learn from the book of Habakkuk. If you want to turn to that book, just keep your finger there. We could do some reading. Of course, it'll be on the PowerPoint as well. You know, the book of Habakkuk is a good book to tell you how we can, as believers in God, prepare our minds for difficult times. They're going to come. I don't know what's going to happen to this country. Will our currency go bad and we end up having just financial calamity and not have work and have to work to eat? And I mean, again, the things that have typically occurred in history have not occurred in this country yet. It will. I don't know when or what or what's going to happen. I'm not pretending to be a prophet. I'm not pretending to be a doom and gloomer. It may not happen in our lifetimes. We may continue to have prosperity for a time. But we've got to be mentally prepared that when the rug is pulled out from our country or for ourselves individually, we've got to understand how to prepare for that by faith. That's what the book of Habakkuk will teach us. Habakkuk started off kind of wondering, Lord, why are things so wicked in your nation? Aren't you seeing what's happening here? And Habakkuk is a man of faith. And a man of faith will express his concerns to God. Just look at some of the verses here. It says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. And now he's praying to God here. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you'll not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and the justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. And basically what Habakkuk is saying, Lord, don't you see what's going on? Why don't you do something about it? Ever feel that way about our country? We studied in the college class a couple of semesters ago, or at least last semester, at the very end of it, about relationships. And we pointed out historically when the church came into existence, the governing powers were persecuting powers. The Jewish government wasn't any help to them. The Roman government wasn't any help to them. And what could Christians be saying at that time? Lord, aren't you seeing what's happening? Well, the book of Revelation answers that. But even today, we look at our country, our country may become a persecuting power to Christianity. I pray that it doesn't. It might. And here was this prayer given to God. And one thing about our God, you know He's going to act. You know He has a plan, and Habakkuk knew that. He just didn't know what it was. In this case, he gets an answer. And the answer is stunning. Judah had success and prosperity. Things look good. In verse 5, it says, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places which are not theirs." And he describes this nation that Habakkuk already knew about. Could you imagine, again, this is my day and time, the fear we had that the Soviet Union would come and destroy our country with a nuclear attack and take us over. That was a real fear as a kid. Literally, I had in my mind, I can't tell you how many dreams I've had as a kid and older of nuclear holocaust and trying to survive, you know, when everything was taken away, you know, and for that to have actually happened, that would be stunning. But what's going to happen here? What's going to happen? And Habakkuk is basically saying, hey, I do have a plan, and this is going to happen. Habakkuk initially goes, wait, God, do you know what you're doing? Of course he does. But he's still, Habakkuk is a good man. And he's struggling with this. These guys are evil. What if Soviet Union had taken over this country? With Stalin and some of these others that they're persecuting, the millions of deaths, Stalin and Hitler were very similar in terms of what they did historically. And those men rose up in power and had great persecution power, and they actually devastated many countries. And that can happen. And by the way, that happened with God in control. And one of the things that Habakkuk was going to have to learn here is that the arrogant nation that didn't serve God and gave themselves credit, God can use to bring down other nations. That gave Habakkuk a pretty big problem. He thought he had a problem. He said, God, don't you see what's going on in Israel? Now he's got a bigger problem. You're going to use Babylon? You're going to use the Chaldeans? How can you do that? Well, God gives him the answer. And Habakkuk 1 and verse 12. Here's the questioning of Habakkuk. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. Oh, Lord, you have appointed them for judgment? Oh, rock, you have marked them for correction? You are of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? And hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he. Habakkuk has doubts, and these are beautiful doubts, understandable doubts, and he's going to God saying, now, God, how can a more wicked nation destroy a nation that's not as wicked? How can you let this kind of injustice occur? Habakkuk's going to get an answer. And Habakkuk knew that if this was going to occur, that it was going to be terrible. He describes it. Habakkuk describes basically what it's like. It's like somebody plundering a resource, in this case, fish. He says that, why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They can take up all of them with a hook, they catch them with their net, and they gather their dragnet, therefore they rejoice and are glad. He basically says, if you use the Chaldeans, they're going to come in and slaughter. That's right. God, how can you do this? Well, one thing I like about Habakkuk, he goes to God, and he knows that God is right. And he's going to have to get his mindset set differently. It was never about the national pride of Israel. Never about that. And brethren, I love my country. I've got my flag from my dad's funeral. He served in World War II. I have that. We were a very patriotic family, and we are today. We have our American flags, and we love our country. I love the history of our country. But we've got to have a mindset to understand our country will not last. None will. And so here's Habakkuk. He kind of, you know, pointed out to God, and he knew that God was going to answer him. I love this. Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I'll answer when I'm corrected. Because he knew his thinking wasn't right. He knew God was right. And here's Habakkuk. Teach me, Lord. Tell me. Answer these questions of mine. And so God does. And he didn't close his ears in anger. He didn't just complain. And here's what God said. Now, you would expect God to say this. Okay, Lord, you said you're going to bring in the Chaldeans, and you just got to understand you can't do that because they're too wicked. Well, here's what God said. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Basically, God says, I'm going to do exactly what I'm going to do because my way is merciful. God's not swayed by emotion. He acts on principle. He has great consistency. Could you still serve God if this country fell? I believe we can. And God's purpose, he reveals to it later. God basically points out here is that, look, the nation had gotten so bad that God was merciful in bringing down these nations. Because what God wants in the long run is people to be with him forever. Nations are going to fail. Nations, the book of Isaiah says, are a drop in the bucket. They're like dust on the scales. God blows and they're gone. And you see, what he wants is a people that learn what faith is. In verse 4 it says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's the message of Habakkuk. That's the message of tonight. When you have faith in God, the other things in this life can be taken away and you can stand. And then he goes on and talks about the pride of Judah and why he had to be taken out. And when this happens, don't get me wrong here. Brethren, we'll suffer too. When the day comes, this country falls. It may not happen in our lifetime. Again, I don't know. I'm no prophet. I'm no doom and gloomer. I'd love this nation to turn in its attitudes, and I'd love this nation to continue. I've certainly enjoyed the prosperity that we have, but it's not guaranteed. And when the time comes, righteous people will suffer too. I won't read the rest of Habakkuk 2, but there's woes that were described of what's going to happen to Judah. And Habakkuk learned some lessons. First off, God's got a plan. And God sees things going on right now in this country. I'm going to tell you something. I love living in Auburn. I love the culture of Auburn. I love this community. It's not that we are... all this whole community is right before God, but there are certain things within the culture, within the attitudes, within the morals that are very encouraging to me as I look at other parts of the country. But God got plans for all men that when men become too proud, too arrogant, when they disregard God's moral law, they fall. Nations fall. Habakkuk 2 and verse 20. Here's what Habakkuk learned. He learned that God is the ruler and that what we need to do is keep our mouth shut and listen with reverence and awe to him. Habakkuk 2:20, it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Let's finish the lesson. What Habakkuk learned was that the just shall live by faith. Again, I don't want to be gloom and doom. I don't want to create nightmares in your life and for you to worry needlessly about things that are out of your control. But what I would like you to think about is if circumstances came in your life and you lost your finances or you lost your health or maybe something, a national calamity came through or maybe some new virus and new plague came upon, all of these things can happen. And you lost your health, or you lost your loved ones, you lost your ability to make money, you were hungry. Prepare ahead of time for what you're going to do in a time like that. Our God will bless us if we'll learn to walk by faith. Habakkuk 3 and verse 1. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet on Shinagoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. The one thing that Habakkuk knew, he had his God and he was going to hold on to him no matter what. There's something about life when our life gets turned upside down, when things don't go like they ought to, and you've got the kind of faith to know who your God is. There's a blessing there. You can have fear. There's nothing wrong with being afraid of maybe the physical pain that may come with disease, or maybe the uncertainty because you can't pay your bills, or maybe because of the hurt that people may reap upon you because you stand for moral principles. There's nothing wrong with fear as long as we let that fear drive us to God and understand He'll take care of us. Habakkuk didn't stay on the sidelines fuming for very long. He knew he couldn't fight God. And here, a very interesting passage in the book of Habakkuk. Why does God bring nations down? The reason why these things happen, when you read of wars, when you read of civil wars, of calamities, of slaughter, and all the chaos that occurs in the nations round about us, is God is trying to work a plan to keep men humble, that they might have the very best possibility of coming to know God and turn to Him. Habakkuk put it this way in Habakkuk 3 and verse 13. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. I believe the entirety of human history is put together so that we might preach the gospel. So that we might help people to know God. And I'm not saying I give the explanation for everything that happens and how that fits into God's purpose. I know that one thing God wants us to learn. Go back to Psalms 90. Our days are numbered. This life is not certain. Turn to God. When you give up your faith, you pervert the purpose of the whole universe. And difficult times will lay ahead for generations that go through a nation that falls. What if we knew this country was going to fall when you win? What if we knew that a bloody war was coming? You see, Habakkuk was given that information, and listen to this, and this is what's going to happen. When you go through a time like this, and you got to have a mental preparation, listen to Habakkuk. These are some of the most beautiful, inspiring verses to me. He didn't want to go through this. He knew he was going to hurt. In verse 16, he says, when I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones and I trembled in myself. Now why did he do this? There was a fear that let him let go. That let him realize, all these things, they don't last. And now he can turn to God. Now notice, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, when he invades them with his troops. In verse 17, listen to this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, no figs to eat. Nor fruit be on the vines, no fruit to eat. Though the labor of the olive may fail, no olives. And the fields yields no food, no food. And the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there may be no herd in the stalls. Here we're seeing a very true reality that oftentimes happens. Nations and people go through starvation and lack of food. But listen to this, verse 18 and 19. I just get chill bumps when I read this verse, and I pray that my faith and your faith will be like this when things go bad. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Here's a man that says, yes, the calamity will come, but I can live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Prepare yourself. Again, not being gloom and doom. We live in a time of prosperity. Use that prosperity. Nothing wrong with having things as long as we understand it also can be taken away. And so when the world crumbles around us, we'll be a people of faith. Hope you take a little more time. You might want to read the whole book of Habakkuk. And let's be thankful for our God. I think of Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? I think about the Romans 8 and how the people were persecuted by their own governments and they were counted as sheep for the slaughter. But we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You be prepared, Christian. And then whatever happens, we'll know we have a God that'll take care of us. Do you know this God? Have you yet become a Christian? We're going to extend an invitation right now. I urge you, be right with God. Whatever you need to do, be right with God. Do that. You'll serve a God that will forgive. You'll serve a God that will bless you. You'll serve a God that will provide for you. But you've got to make the move to build a faith. And I pray your faith will stand. Our God will give every provision for you to have that. You've got to take the initiative. If we can help you in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?